Let us pray. Holy One, here we stand with the whole city gathered at our door. We know that there are many communities outside these walls longing for healing, health, and hope. Remove the blinders on our hearts so that we might love and feel and ache with our neighbors. Let your loving compassion flow through our hands as we minister to others in your name. The New Testament reading, a letter from 1 Corinthians. Please sit. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the God of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told her about him at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I might proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Thursday morning women's study has been reading the Book of Joy by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. In the chapter on compassion, the Dalai Lama tells of his experience on an overnight flight from San Francisco to Japan. Seated near him were a couple with a 3-year-old toddler and a baby. Both parents did their best to keep the children occupied. But the dad eventually fell asleep, and the Dalai Lama noted the mother's swollen, exhausted eyes as she continued to care for the two tired and cranky children. He writes, quote, "I thought about it, and I don't think I would have had that kind of patience," end quote. He names this type of self-giving love as compassion. The narrator of the book further observes, quote, "It probably takes many years of monastic practice to equal the spiritual growth generated by one sleepless night with a sick child," end quote. The same can be said about caring for a sick parent, sick spouse, or sick friend. I have been praying for a number of caregivers this winter as flu, colds, and tummy bugs go through households like bowling balls, knocking one member down after another. Like many of you, I know from experience that it is terribly difficult to be patient, gentle, and awake for what feels like a lifetime with a sick loved one, especially when you are exhausted and ill yourself. Yet we do it. Isn't that what love is all about? Rereading the familiar gospel passage appointed for this Sunday, I thought of all those caregivers, and this sentence jumped out at me. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. The vision of her hands cooking and serving the men sprang immediately to mind. Well-trained feminist theologian that I am, my first response would usually have been, well, of course she did. Serving men is what gave women of the time their identity in family and society. But this time around, my response was different. Of course she did. That is what the hands of love do. It is interesting to note that the word serve is simply a choice of the translators. In the Greek text, the same word has already appeared in Mark's gospel. When Jesus is resisting temptation in the desert, the angels minister to him. In today's passage, the same Greek word is translated as serve. The use of the same word twice in 31 verses is a clue that something deeply holy happens as Jesus lifts up Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. His healing of her calls her to minister to Jesus and his friends, and probably also to the crowd waiting on her doorstep. This passage describes the chain reaction of being ministered to and ministering to others as a result. I am struck by the detail that Jesus heals through his hands. Hands fascinate me. Since I was a little girl, I have watched people's hands. Hands are the first thing I usually note when I meet a new person. I had a friend in college who told me I should deal cards for a living because I could recognize people by their hands. I am also enchanted by the works of people's hands. Needlework, knitting, painting, cooking, sculpting, piano playing, clock making. If it can be done with our hands, count me in. That said, it comes as no surprise to me that the very first thing I noticed about worship at St. Matthew's was that we all hold hands as we pray following the children's time, except for today, which we didn't, because I'm concerned about all those germs that are going around out there. When you stand in the middle of us holding hands, you feel the power of it, but you don't see it. I spend a lot of worship time in the back or the front of the congregation, And the view of all those hands connected by the spirit of love almost always makes me tear up. Hold that image in your mind's eye as we dig a bit deeper into our gospel reading this morning. Jesus has come from the synagogue where he has taught with authority to the bedside of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Rooted in his faith community, he crosses the threshold into the intimacy of a household of those whom he knows. And he reaches out his hand to lift up the mother-in-law of his friend. Rooted in the healing Jesus extends to her, she in turn uses her hands to minister to those she knows, Jesus and his disciples. At sundown, when the Sabbath has ended and work can begin, Jesus crosses the threshold of the intimacy of the household into a crowd of strangers outside the door. As he steps into the crowd, hands reach out to him, and Jesus reaches back to them with healing hands of love. The next morning, he sets out to pray by himself and is then joined by his intimate friends, and they set out to minister to those beyond the boundaries of synagogue, family, and place. The chain reaction of ministry continues through the journey to Galilee. Jesus moves from the space of worship to the intimacy of home, to the world beyond the threshold, then to private prayer, and back among intimate community in order to go out again to minister to those near and far. This is an important pattern. And at St. Matthew's, we follow that pattern in ways we might not even be aware of. You can see it in our hands. We gather in intimate community to worship each Sunday. We hold each other's hands in prayer, and then we reach those healing hands to others. We pray individually and collectively as we minister to others, then return to this beloved community where we share our experiences and refresh our souls. When I look at us holding hands as we pray, I also see the many ways in which those hands are connected to those whom we minister to in places near and far. I feel the rhythm of being ministered to and then ministering to others. We too are part of the chain reaction of ministering. Susan Lasante will soon be headed to Kenya to minister to the children served by the Slum Foundation. Many of our hands have sorted the flashcards she will take with her. Other hands have made yummy treats to sell today, so that Susan will be able to give our gift of money to support the work that our friend George's hands do with these children. This is what the hands of love do. Through the ministry of Pam Follett's medically trained hands in school and clinic in Tanzania, our prayer shawl ministry has learned that it is possible for children to die of exposure to cold, even in hot climates. The works of their hands, making hats, booties, and prayer squares, are put into the hands of laboring mothers and on the head and feet of newborns. This is what the hands of love do. Nikki Matsaruka's hands will be ministering to girls in Zimbabwe later this year. She will arrive with hands full of sewing machines and fabric to make sanitary pads so that girls can stay in school. The work of many hands at St. Matthew's have already made and sent sanitary pads. This is what the hands of love do. The shopping cart sits in front of our altar this morning. Many of our hands have filled it with food for those in our community experiencing food instability. Following the service, some of our hands will pack these gifts and deliver them to the local food pantries. This is what the hands of love do. Our immigration team comes to worship this morning, having just yesterday shared the work of their hands in food and program to educate and empower those who minister for justice in our congregation and our wider local community, so that in turn we can minister to those searching for home and community. This is what the hands of love do. 16th century mystic and Carmelite nun, St. Teresa of Avila, expresses the Christian calling well. Quote, Christ has no body but ours, no hands, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Ours are the feet which he walks to do good. Ours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Ours are the hands. Ours are the feet. Ours are the eyes. We are his body. Christ has no body now, but ours. No hands, no feet on earth. But ours. Ours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth, but ours. End quote. The hands of love minister in so many ways in and through St. Matthew's community. From the gift of flowers on the altar to the festival of sharing, we hold each other's hands as we anchor ourselves in one another's prayer so that our hands may reach out into the wider world. Every time we worship together and hold each other's hands, we participate in the chain reaction of being ministered to and then ministering to others. This is the rhythm of Jesus' loving compassion moving through us. This is lived Christian practice, as old as Jesus' ministry and as new as our own. This is what the hands of love do. Amen.